Welcome to Zichru Daf Siman Man Rabbi Aram Goldar and Tim Maseches Chulin Daf Kuf Chav Gimel, the ninth Perka Orva Rote. The Zichru Maseches Chulin program has been generously sponsored anonymously to help bring a lasting Kinyan Torah to Lomdei Daf Yomi worldwide. So the three Dafs we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah states regarding the skinning process of all behemoths and chayos, kosher and non-kosher, small or large, if it's being skinned l'shatiach, for use as a spread, where the hide is first cut lengthwise and then peeled along the animal's sides, the hide can transmit tumah as a yad until kedei achiza. It's sufficient for grasping, but beyond that point, it no longer functions as a yad. If the hide is being skinned lechemes, for use as a flask, where it's peeled back from the neck without being cut, it functions as a yad, ad sheyabshit esochaza, until he skins the chest, which is the most difficult part of skinning. If one begins skinning from the hind legs, to use as a flask, the entire hide is considered attached regarding transmitting tumah, since this method reaches the chest last. After one skins beyond kedei achiza in the Mishnah's first case, Rav says, tahor ha-mupshat, all the hide which was skinned is tahor, meaning it doesn't transmit tumah. Rabbi Yossi says, tefach ha-samach ha-basr tameh. The tefach of skinned hide closest to the meat is tameh because it functions as a yad. Point number two, a Mishnah discusses a tameh talus, which one began to tear and states, kevin shenikra rov, once the majority of it is torn, it's no longer considered attached and is tahor. Rav Nachman says this only applies when the talus was immersed in a mikveh that day, but tore it so it would be immediately tahor without waiting for nightfall. Here, Demigdo Chasalev Atbula, since he was not concerned about the talus and immersed it, were confident he'll probably tear its majority without concern for the talus. However, if he did not immerse the talus that day, it does not become tahor. Because of a gezera dimola asilo mikra ruba, perhaps he'll not tear its majority. The Gemara proves that regarding Tumah the Rabbanan, Rav Nachman concedes that there's no such gezera. And point number three, Reish Lakish says that only a talus, meaning a cloth garment, becomes tahor when its majority is torn, because it cannot be fully restored even if it's sewn back together, aval or chalim. But leather is a strong connection, meaning if one tore the majority of a leather garment, it remains tummy because its remaining connection is strong and it can be sewn back together and restored. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees and holds that even leather becomes tahor when its majority is torn. Rabbi Yirmiyah objects that our Mishnah teaches that hide ceases to be a yad after the hide is skinned beyond kedei achiza, and we do not consider the connection to the hide strong enough that it should be considered attached to the meat. Rabbi Yavin explains, Rishon hu osinipo. Each successive skinning causes the skinned hide to be considered as having fallen away from the meat because it cannot be reattached to the meat. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the next Mishnah states regarding the skinning process of all behemoths and chayos, kosher or non-kosher, small or large, if it's being skinned l'shatiach, for use as a spread, where the hide is first cut lengthwise and then peeled along the animal's sides, the hide can transmit tumah as a yad until kedei achiza. It's sufficient for grasping, but beyond that point, it no longer functions as a yad. If the hide is being skinned lechemes, for use as a flask, where it's peeled back from the neck without being cut, it functions as a yad, ad sheyabshit esochaza, until he skins the chest, which is the most difficult part of skinning. If one begins skinning from the hind legs, to use as a flask, the entire hide is considered attached regarding transmitting tumah, since this method reaches the chest last. After one skins beyond kedei achiza in the Mishnah's first case, Rav says, tahor ha-mupshat, all the hide which was skinned is tahor, meaning it doesn't transmit tumah. Rabbi Yossi says, tefach ha-samach ha-basr tameh. The tefach of skinned hide closest to the meat is tameh because it functions as a yad. Point number two, a Mishnah discusses a tameh talus, which one began to tear and states, kevin shenikra rov, once the majority of it is torn, it's no longer considered attached and is tahor. Rav Nachman says this only applies when the talus was immersed in a mikveh that day, but tore it so it would be immediately tahor without waiting for nightfall. Here, Demigdo Chasalev Atbula, since he was not concerned about the talus and immersed it, were confident he'll probably tear its majority without concern for the talus. However, if he did not immerse the talus that day, it does not become tahor. Because of a gezera dimola asilo mikra ruba, perhaps he'll not tear its majority. The Gemara proves that regarding Tumah the Rabbanan, Rav Nachman concedes that there's no such gezera. And point number three, Reish Lakish says that only a talus, meaning a cloth garment, becomes tahor when its majority is torn, because it cannot be fully restored even if it's sewn back together, aval or chalim. But leather is a strong connection, meaning if one tore the majority of a leather garment, it remains tummy because its remaining connection is strong and it can be sewn back together and restored. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees and holds that even leather becomes tahor when its majority is torn. Rabbi Yirmiyah objects that our Mishnah teaches that hide ceases to be a yad after the hide is skinned beyond kedei achiza, and we do not consider the connection to the hide strong enough that it should be considered attached to the meat. Rabbi Yavin explains, Rishon, Rishon, hu osa nipo. Each successive skinning causes the skinned hide to be considered as having fallen away from the meat because it cannot be reattached to the meat. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Kuf Chav Gimel. This siman was suggested to us by Daniel Strachu from Ra'anana as well as from Binyamin Lowenthal from Baltimore. They both suggested that Kuf Chav Gimel is ka-ching, a cash register, ka-ching. So here goes. When the cash register went ka-ching and opened for the owner to put the change in a flask he was making by skinning an animal, which would be a yad l'tuma until he got past the chest, it ripped his shirt, which he had toivel that day, more than halfway down, making it tahor immediately, which would not have been the halach had he been wearing his leather apron. Once again, slow motion. When the cash register went ka-ching, ka-ching, that must run daf kuf chav gimel. When the cash register went ka-ching and opened for the owner to put the change in a flask he was making by skinning an animal, which would be a yad l'tuma, until he got past the chest, which reminds us, the next mishnah states, regarding the skinning process of all behemoths and chayos, kosher or non-kosher, small or large, if it's being skinned l'shatiach, for use as a spread, where the hide is first cut lengthwise and then peeled along the animal's sides, the hide can transmit tuma as a yad until kedei achiza. It's sufficient for grasping, but beyond that point, it no longer functions as a yad. If the hide is being skinned l'chemos for use as a flask, where it's peeled back from the neck without being cut, it functions as a yad, ad sheyabsid as a chaza, until he skins the chest, which is the most difficult part of skinning. So when the cash register went ka-ching and opened for the owner to put the change in a flask he was making by skinning an animal, which would be a yad l'tuma until he got past the chest, it ripped his shirt, which he had toivel that day, more than halfway down, making a tahor immediately, which reminds us, the mission discusses a tami talis which one began to tear and states, kaven shenikra rov, once the majority of it is torn, it's no longer considered attached and is tahor. Rav Nachman says this only applies when the talis was immersed in a mikveh that day, but tore it so it would be immediately tahor without waiting for nightfall. Here, since he wasn't concerned about the talis and immersed it, we're confident he'll properly tear its majority without concern for the talis. So when the cash register went ka-ching and opened for the owner to put the change in a flask he was making by skinning an animal, which would be a yad l'tuma until he got past the chest, it ripped his shirt, which he had toveled that day, more than halfway down, making a tahor immediately, which would not have been the halacha had he been wearing his leather apron, which reminds us, Reish Lakish says that only a talus, a cloth garment, becomes tahor when its majority is torn, because it cannot be fully restored even if it's sewn back together. But leather is a strong connection, meaning if one tore the majority of a leather garment, it remains tummy because its remaining connection is strong and it can be sewn back together and restored. Ryokan disagrees and holds that even leather becomes tahor when its majority is torn. So once again, when the cash register went ka-ching and opened for the owner to put the change in a flask he was making by skinning an animal, which would be a yad l'tuma until it got past the chest, it ripped his shirt, which he had toiled that day, more than halfway down, making a tahor immediately, which would not have been the halacha had he been wearing his leather apron. All right, so now it's time for our four blah blah chazara. Daf kuf yud tes. So the siman daf kuf yud tes is a kite. So here goes. The boy who used lentils in their husks to hold down his kite. Kite? That must be on daf kuf yud tes. The boy used lentils in their husks to hold down his kite, thinking they would be tahor because they're so small, but didn't realize a bria is different, which reminds us, we learned that a bria of any size qualifies as a yud. So the boy used lentils in their husks to hold down his kite, thinking they would be tahor because they're so small, but didn't realize a bria is different, was interrupted while cutting his orange in two, and wondering if each half's peel can combine with the other as a shomer, which reminds us, Rav Hashaya asked, what's the halacha regarding two shomerim combining with the foods they protect to comprise the minimum shear for tuma? His question was about the shomer of a food which one divide into two. So each shomer only protects part of the food, and both shomerim together with the food amount to a kabeah. Do we say since this part of the shomer does not protect this part of the food, and the other part of the shomer does not protect the other part of the food, the shomerim do not combine for tumah? Or do we say since this shomer segment protects its food segment, and that shomer segment protects that food segment, they do combine with food for the minimum shear for tumah? The proofs proposed to resolve this question are deflected. So the boy used lentils in their husks to hold down his kite, thinking they would be tahor because they're so small, but didn't realize a bria is different, was interrupted while cutting his orange in two and wondering if each half's peel can combine with the other as a shomer by his friend who was trying to use a bunch of hairs as a yad to fly a meat-themed kite, which reminds us, the Gemara brings the Malchus of a nima, a strand of hair, qualifies as a yad. Daf kuf chaf, so the similar daf kuf chaf is a cook. So here goes. The cook, that must be on daf kuf chaf. The cook who was measuring congealed liquid from meat to see if combined with the meat it would reach a shear of becoming tamei, which reminds us the Mishnah Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis taught that rotev, gravy, combines with meat to transmit food tumah. Rava identifies rotev as shumna, fat, but Abai objects that since fat is fully edible, it should be matame on its own without combining with meat. Abaya therefore defines rotev as chel of the karish, congealed liquid which exudes from the meat, which is not eaten on its own, but is eaten with the meat. So the cook who is measuring congealed liquid from meat to see if combined with the meat it would reach a shear of becoming tamei makes pots of liquefied chametz, which one is chai for eating on Pesach, and liquefied matzah, which cannot be used for the Seder. Which reminds us, a braisa teaches that one is chai for consuming liquefied chametz on Pesach, whereas one who consumes liquefied matzah is not yotzi, the mitzvah, because liquefied matzah doesn't qualify as lechem oni. Liability for consuming liquefied chametz, despite its prohibition being expressed as achila, is likewise derived from the word nefesh written there, which connotes satisfaction or desire to include achila for drinking. So the cook who is measuring congealed liquid from meat to see if combined with the meat it would reach a shear of becoming tamei makes pots of liquefied chametz, which one is chai for eating on Pesach, and liquefied matzah, which cannot be used for the Seder. When his boss yelled at him for not labeling his bottles properly, which caused him to drink truma vinegar and pay Karen Vachomish, which reminds us, a Mishnah teaches that if a non-kohen accidentally consumes truma of date honey, apple cider, or vinegar of winter grapes, Eliezer requires him to pay Karen Vachomish, the principal plus of it, like any czar who mistakenly eats truma, because he considers the juices of truma like fruit. Rabbi Yeshua exempts him from paying Karen V'chomish for consuming these liquids. Rabbi Eliezer holds Don Mina Umina, derive the law from the source and derive the parameters from it. Just as with Bikurim, Mashkini Yotzme and Kamosan, the liquids which issue from them are like them, the same applies to Truma. Rabbi Yeshua holds Don Mina Ba'okiba Asra, derive the law from it, but establish its parameters according to its own place. Since only wine and oil can be initially designated as Truma as liquids, only those liquids have the full status of Truma. Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph is a cocoa bean farmer. So here goes. The cocoa bean farmer, that must mean we're on Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph, cocoa. The cocoa bean farmer, who was in the middle of shechting a non-Kosher animal for his non-Jewish worker, jumped back when his son spilled cocoa on the convulsing creature, making it susceptible to Tumas Ocholin, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Kuf Yad Zayin Amud Beis taught that if a Jew shechs a non-Kosher animal for an idolater, umefarkasas, and is still convulsing, it's already considered food and is susceptible to Tumas Ocholin, but is not a nevela until it actually dies. The same applies when a Gentile shechs a Kosher animal. Rabbi Yossi says that sometimes teach that for these animals to become susceptible to tuma, tsrichim achshava, they require intent for an idolater to eat them while they're still alive, the hekshar mayim memakom acher, and preparation by water from another source. So the cocoa bean farmer, who was in the middle of shechting a non-kosher animal for his non-Jewish worker, jumped back when his son spilled cocoa on the convulsing creature, making it susceptible to tumas ocholin, and was shocked that the worker took off an aver, which would be considered aver minachai, even after Shechita, which reminds us, the Gemara states that if a Jew shechted two simanim, or most of them, of a non-kosher animal for an idolater and is still convulsing, Chizkiah says, it's no longer subject to the prohibition against Eiver Minachai since it was shechted. Rabbi Yochanan, however, says it is subject to Eiver Minachai since Shechita does not permit the non-kosher animal for consumption. So the cocoa bean farmer, who was in the middle of shechting a non-kosher animal for his non-Jewish worker, jumped back when his son spilled cocoa on the convulsing creature, making it susceptible to tumas ocholin, and was shocked that the worker took off an aver, which would be considered aver minachai, even after shechita, while another worker wondered if the chocolate bars the animal swallowed would be considered tuma balua, which reminds us, Rabbi Zera asked Rabbi Sheshes about a non-kosher animal shechted by a Jew which is still convulsing. What's the halacha regarding whether the animal saved swallowed the objects within it from becoming tame? Tower items swallowed by a live animal remain tower if the animal enters the ola of a dead body, whereas items inside a shechted kosher animal, which is considered meat even while convulsing, do become tame. Daf Kuf Chav Beis. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Chav Beis is corn on the cob. So here goes. The corn on the cob farmer. Corn on the cob? That must mean we're on Daf Kuf Chav Beis. The corn on the cob farmer, who discovered that the soft skin on the hump of his corn-fed, never-been-used camel, was tummy like its meat, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis taught that the ore, the skin of a nevela, is not tummy as a nevela, meaning it's not considered meat. The next Mishnah states, Eosho Orosen Kipsaron, the skins of the following are considered like their meat and transmit the same tumah the meat transmits because their skins are soft, human skin, the skin of a domestic pig. Rabbi Yehuda adds the skin of a wild pig, the skin of a tender camel's hump, defined by the Gemara as before it has carried a burden, the skin of a tender calf's head, and the skin of several parts of an animal. So the corn on the cob farmer who discovered that the soft skin on the hump of his corn-fed, never-been-used camel was tummy, like its meat, was horrified to find a man turning his parents' skins into a corn-themed rug, prompting the rabbinic decree that human skin is tummy, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that human skin is tummy like flesh. Ula says, Devar Torah or Adam Tahor. Biblically, human skin is Tahor. The Rabban declared a tummy because of Gezer Shemi Yasa Adam Oroz Aviv Imo Shtichin, a decree lest a person will make the skins of his father and mother into spreads. So the corn on the cob farmer who discovered that the soft skin on the hump of his corn-fed, never-been-used camel was tummy, like its meat, was horrified to find a man turning his parents' skins into a corn-themed rug, prompting the rabbinic decree that human skin is tummy. While nearby, another worker patched the donkey's ear onto his corn basket, making it tahor, which reminds us, we learned in a braisa, ozen chamor shetlabo kupaso, a donkey's ear, which one patched to his basket, becomes tahor because it loses its status as nevela meat and is considered skin. The Gemara explains that patching flesh to a basket renders it tahor without it being trodden upon because the patching is a nullifying act. Merely spreading it out to be stepped upon, however, is insufficient unless it is actually stepped upon. All right, so now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which stuff lists the skins that are considered like meat and transmit the same tuma because their skins are soft, such as the skin of a tender camel's hump? That's on Duff. Kuf Chav Beis. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do we discuss until when does hide serve as a yad during skinning? That's on Duff. Kuf Chav Gimel. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do we discuss what the halacha is of combining two shomrin together? That's on Duff. Kufya tests. Good. Number 4. Which stuff do we know that human skin is tummy midrabanan to prevent making one's parents' skins into spreads? That's on Duff. Kufcha beis. Good. Number 5. Which stuff do we discuss a talus whose majority is torn and the gezer that one might not tear rove? That's on Duff. Kufcha gimel. Good. Number 6. Which stuff do you discuss congealed liquid which exudes from the meat which combines with the meat for the shear to transmit tuma? That's on Duff. Kufchav. Good. Number 7. Which stuff do we discuss the status of a mefarkesis, an animal convulsing after shechita, regarding tuma blua, tuma that was swallowed by it? That's on Duff. Kufchav olav. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do we mechokas if leather which is torn berubo becomes tahor? That's on Duff. Kufchav Gimel. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do you discuss the keva, the rennet from kosher milk, inside a nevela or trefa? That's on Duff. Kuftez Zayin. Good. Number 10. Which stuff do you know that a donkey's ear which one patched to his basket becomes tahor because it's a nullifying act? That's on Duff. Kufchav Beis. Excellent. All right, that concludes this pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.